You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings in a very snowy, white-blanketed Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, January 26th, episode 3870, brought to you by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
Well, the weathermen for a week promised a storm, and the storm delivered. Oh, God.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to do kind of a winter storm update. And we're also going to check in with Lisa in Tennessee. Tennessee got hammered in this one. They had so much ice. There's so many problems down there. We also have a guest coming on. Laura St. Clair tells us about her app or website called Iconic. That was a referral from some of our auditors. And there's some racing news we're going to get to. And I also have the first interview that I did over at Wessel. I'll talk more about that. I got out just in time. I left Friday morning out of Dallas, and everybody that stayed is pretty much still in Dallas. So,
God bless.
So, obviously, a massive winter storm. It was bad. You know it was bad because I saw the report now. There were dozens of Waffle Houses closed in multiple states.
Oh, my God. What?
I know. It was terrible. Unfortunately, there were some fatalities. The one thing I saw, too, is barns collapsing. You know, and it wasn't from snow. It was from the weight of the ice. There was one in Texas, a raining barn in northern Texas. And what happened was, it was a huge barn, 48 horses inside. And he noticed it was starting to collapse. He heard the creaking while he was out there. Well, they got seven people at the farm, got the 48 horses out safely before the whole barn collapsed.
That happened to me when I lived in Ohio.
Really?
It was a covered arena, and the stalls were on one side, and my three horses were the only three horses that were in at that time, and the entire thing collapsed because you have to have like a lot more trusses if you're gonna have a covered, and they didn't have it. Probably in Texas they don't plan for stuff like that, and the barn roof collapsed everywhere except for over my three horses. About some divine happening, but it was terrifying. And again, you don't plan for that stuff. You don't build for that when you live in Texas. Why would you?
No, I mean, you know, this was rare for Texas, but I mean, everywhere from Louisiana, Mississippi got nailed, and then Tennessee really got hammered. Right now, there's still 800,000 without power, and we all know how cold it is, and it's going to get colder this week everywhere. Let me see. Currently 250,000 without power in Tennessee and Mississippi and Louisiana. Mm. And then where you were from, northern Georgia got hammered as well.
Yeah, that's the mountains up there. They always get hammered. And yeah, I feel like we in Oklahoma, you know, got lucky. It's amazing. I don't remember any storm predictions happening this far out. Like they knew for a week, they were telling us it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And it doesn't matter how much you prep. I went to Costco on like Wednesday before
half a million of your friends.
Yeah, exactly. I had all the electric lines strung out so I could put my drop-in heated waters in the outside troughs and everything. I had everything ready, Glenn. Everything was ready. And it got so cold that my troughs, the heated waters couldn't keep up. And everything is frozen anyway. So anyway, I'm going out every 2 hours and breaking ice. Like, it doesn't matter how much you prep with horses. It's just everything gets a mess anyway.
Other people's heated waters were freezing as well. And then the weird part about this storm, it covered three quarters of the country. In Ohio, they had 2 feet. In Pennsylvania, they had up to 18 inches. In New England, they had 2 feet of snow. Mm. It was just everywhere.
Everywhere.
Well, we're thinking about all of you who are dealing with this today. I know a lot of you are not going to be at work today, which some of you will be happy about. And then the others that are going to be unhappy about the work thing are the ones who now can work from home. So,
well, yeah, that's true. Lucas had school canceled and he's super excited. And then I'm like, what happened to Zoom? Like, did people used to do school on Zoom?
Nope, he's home bothering you. And it did look like your dogs were having fun playing in the snow. You did have some pictures of that. But the cold this week is going to be really bad. So that's not good.
It's just so cold. And it is just intense to have three border collies in your house. It's just so intense. I mean, this new dog that we got from the shelter a couple months ago is a snow dog. He is like, let me out. Let me on it. He runs miles and miles and miles. And Homer's like, I'm like, want to go outside? And I open the door from a basset hound. And he looks out and he just turns around and walks away. No, I'm not doing that.
Your children can play. I'm out.
Yeah. All the border collies, all you idiots, go outside. I'm going to hang out in here.
Well, thank you for all the auditors posting the pictures. I think we had hundreds of them in there. And we are thinking about all of you. All right.
Everybody, doesn't matter how much you plan. Sometimes this stuff just, you know what? It just gets away from you.
Remember the old days of live show? We used to do the live show and we used to call people live on air. We're going to do that right now. We're going to call Lisa Wysocki, who hosted. Thank you, Lisa, for hosting for me last week. We're going to call Lisa. She's buried in snow and ice in Tennessee, right above Nashville.
Oh, man. She and I talked about it a lot, the preparations and a lot of the action that was going to happen.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to give her a call here. This is like the old days where we used to hear the phone ringing. And
good morning.
Hello, Lisa.
Oh, there
you're
she
on.
Is.
We're recording now. I just wanted to warn you.
Yeah. I figured.
How you doing?
Well, I'm cold and you know, it's like a skating rink out here, but our electricity is still on. So that's amazing.
The fact that your electricity is still on. I've been to your place. I'm shocked your electricity is still on.
So 50% of Nashville and 50% of the people in the surrounding counties do not have electricity. And for us to have it, I mean, holy cow.
It's freaking cold there too, isn't it?
I think I got up this morning, it was 6, and the high today is 17.
That's not normal for Tennessee. It's not normal.
Totally not normal for Tennessee, you know, and we're not supposed to get above freezing until maybe Sunday.
So what I'm thinking about, Lisa, is all the people without power with these temperatures. Your pipes freeze in your house. You freeze in your house. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're opening shelters everywhere, but then you have to be able to get to them.
Well, you have to be able to get there, that's for sure. And the roads are so treacherous. I mean, we have here about a half an inch of ice. And even if you have like a tenth of an inch of ice, it's still dangerous to be out on the roads.
Jamie, where she lives is kind of hilly. When you get above Nashville, it gets hilly.
It does.
I can't imagine some of those hills and the ice.
It's bad.
Lisa, you and I were talking about this storm coming up. And at the beginning of the week, you had said, they said 23 inches. And then I think you got down to 12. What did you guys end up with?
We only got 4. And I know you got more than that, I'm sure. But we only got 10.
But there's no ice like where I am now. North and south of me, they're screwed. But I got really lucky without the ice. But the ice is what is just the worst part of it. And you're hanging in there.
And you know what's so weird is the birds. And so all the birds, I guess, have come out of their nests and they're hanging out in our run-in sheds and under our overhangs. There must be, I don't know, hundreds of birds. And you know, so they're smart. They're like, get out of the nest, get out, you know, because they're all iced out.
You know what's bad about the ice on top of the snow too, having lived in Pennsylvania and Massachusetts for a long time, is that ice is so thick that yes, the horses might crunch through it, but then they cut up their legs and their ankles.
Well, they do, and then they can get stuck out there, and that's not fun either.
So are they all in, or do you have them out? What'd you do?
They're all hanging out under the overhang. You know, we have the run-ins, and then we've got a 14-foot covered alleyway that's about 50 feet long, and so they're hanging out there and, you know, feeding hay under there, making a big mess. But you know, they're safe, and they seem relatively content, so that's good.
You know, we used
it
to
is
take
amazing.
The,
yeah, I'm sorry, Glenn. I was just saying it's amazing. You mentioned mess. I mean, I walk in my barn. I'm like, oh God, this is going to be so much work to clean up after this is over. But you can't do anything about it right now. Like nobody come to my house looking for a show place because it ain't going to be the real thing. Okay.
No, or it is the real thing. You know, this is life, you know? And so, so many people are dealing with the same thing. You know, it's just hard. Yeah. You know, it took me what normally takes me 45 minutes to do in the morning takes 2 hours now.
Yeah. So, I remember the one blizzard in Pennsylvania where we had 9-foot drifts. It was the worst blizzard I've ever lived
through.
And we couldn't put the horses out because the roof had blown off the barn. It was tin. And it was in the drifts in the field. And we don't know where. It was all hidden by these 9-foot drifts and the big pieces of metal out there. So what we had to do was, and we had no way to get the manure out of the barn because you couldn't drive a tractor.
So, well, that's it. Yeah.
So we piled it in the corners of the stalls. It got 6 feet high. Percherons then. The Percheron corners got 6 feet high.
Oh my gosh.
You're describing my barn right now, Glenn.
Well, I don't have to worry about picking up poop because it's all frozen to the ground.
That's true.
I can't get it.
Hey, Lisa, remember when we were talking about how awesome it's going to be when my covered round pen is built and your covered arena is built?
Why
the hell didn't that happen before this?
I know.
Well, you would have been able to test out the structural integrity of both buildings if they had been built.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But the horses would be so happy to be under there right now.
So, Jamie, I assume yours didn't get done then.
No. And what's really fun is the day before the storm, they cut out at like 3 p.m. because everybody was like, let's just go home. And so all of their equipment is all in my arena, all around the whole thing. And so there's all these tractor implements and trailer beds that are parked in my arena, blanketed in snow. So I can't even walk out there because I don't know what anything is. It's disaster world.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Holy cow.
Well, Lisa, I'm glad you still have power.
On a serious note, though,
I am a little worried. I have seen nothing but pictures out of Nashville, and it's horrendous. Every tree's broken down, wires everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about all the homeless you help. Were there shelters for them to get to?
So they have opened all the police stations and all the fire stations are serving as warming shelters. And then they've opened a couple of extra, you know, overnight type shelters. But as you said, it's tough for them to get there. And so we do have some who kind of pooled their funds together who have gotten hotel room for a day or two. Others are staying with family or friends. But, you know, we're understandably really worried about some that we haven't heard from. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, you can't even get out to check on them for days. So
No, we can't. And, you know, we canceled our outreach for this week just because we can't get there. And it's a little worrisome, but hopefully everybody will be okay.
You know what's amazing is I get so worried about the homeless when weather like this happens. And I mean, I'm like to where I like lose sleep, the animals and the homeless, like what happens?
Yes.
To these, I can't imagine the level of worry that you have on top of it because you work with these people every day and you know them and you feel for them and you're part of their story. You know their story. I can't imagine how heartbreaking it is for you. So I've been thinking about you all weekend.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And you know, fingers crossed that they're okay. And hopefully in a few days, we'll be able to, you know, figure it out and at least have heard from some of them and everybody will survive. So that's
the
hope.
We'll check in with you later in the week. Okay. And see how
okay, that sounds great.
All right.
That
thanks,
sounds
Lisa.
Good you guys
luck.
Be safe.
Have
okay.
Fun
you too.
In the
Bye.
Snow. Get your sled.
Oh, I will. Okay. Bye.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm. Hope it lasts all year long, even if Glenn gets a name or two wrong. Who does it now and then? You know, all I gotta say is, happy birthday, friends.
That was submitted by Hunter, who is Kim and Ray, our auditor's son. And he submitted that. It's the first of the new birthday song entries. Well done. I never get names wrong. I don't know what he's talking about.
I mean, he nailed it. That was great. Not quite as quick and to the point as the other ones, but it gets the point across.
It's
like the whole birthday celebration.
Yep. Well, I have one today. Claire Runnelson. Happy birthday to Claire. And also, I wanted to give a Daily Winnie to all the first responders and the power crews out there. I mean, we don't think of them enough in times like this. I don't know how they get out in the ice, take the trees off the downed wires, and get it all put back together. That's just beyond me. But there was one today I saw, which was a bucket truck. It was in Georgia. And the bucket truck cab was entirely caved in all the way down. Like, imagine it's smooshed. The tree had come down while the guys were in it. Tree hit the bucket, it hit the cab, smashed the cab all the way down, and they weren't hurt at all. I don't know how. That was a miracle. But so anyway, to all the first responders out there who are living a dangerous life right now, we're wishing you all the best, too.
Well, you know, it was a weekend of sitting in front of the TV watching local news.
I bet.
That's what you do here in Oklahoma. It's like tornado season, but not. It was snow season. And so you're constantly watching the news. So it was the middle of the day and I'm like, I want to check and see if any more's coming. So I turn on the television and lo and behold, the horses are heading to the post in the Pegasus World Cup. Now, they're... all the horses are going through, like White Abario, 7 years old, Skippy Longstocking, 7 years old. There's just so many horses that are on their way to the post that I recognize the names of. Of course, White Abario was basically on the way to the Breeders' Cup post and he got pulled. One vet said he looked lame. So they pull White Abario out and say, this is kind of his first go back since that whole incident. And so there was a whole lot of like drama surrounding him. Like, is he going to get his comeback? And then there was Skippy Longstocking, who has never won a grade one race, has been just a total workhorse. And so these horses are going to the post and I'm like, oh man, it sure would be fun to gamble right now. Oh, I have a nap. So I'm like, Jack, come in here. There's a horse race on. So he comes in and sits down and I pick one and I put it in my phone and it's there was a 99-1. I always play the like $2 on that one to win just in case. But there was one horse that really stood out. And of course, I don't tell him who I'm cheering for. He just keeps talking. Oh, I like that one. I like that one. This one's going. And I don't say a word. So let's hear the race and then you'll hear how I did.
Now, this is the $3 million Pegasus Cup. Isn't this a Gulfstream down in
here? This is a Gulfstream down in Miami. Yeah.
Okay. And Pegasus X is underway. Good start. Toward the inside, Disco Time is fleet of foot off the mark and tries to lead the field early from Full Soretto, who's offensive-minded in between horses, British Isles, getting started wide on the course, and Captain Cook way out wide is Mika. Tapan Street is mid-flight. He's racing together with White Abario. They're a length in front of Skippy Longstocking. Two and a half more to Banishing third last. Poster is second last. At the back of the field is Brother Kenny as they chase the speed of Disco Time. Disco Time and Flavian Pratt to the backstretch through a 22-1 opening quarter. That's a solid tempo with Full Serrano chasing from second. Captain Cook is on the outside in third. British Isles fourth at the rail. Mika is now fifth. White Abario is racing in sixth and angles to the clear. Two back to Tapan Street. Then it's Banishing. Skippy Longstocking is at the rail. Poster is next. The two at the back are Lightning Tones and Brother Kenny to the opening half mile in 46 seconds flat. They go to the half-mile point, and Disco Time has a wall of pursuers. Into the clear went White Abario to go on a four-wide bid. Full Serrano's in the two-path. Captain Cook is three-wide. Then it's back to Mika. Pink Colors five lengths off the lead. Banishing's on his outside. Tapan Street will have to do a lot better than that. He's engaged for his spot by Skippy Longstocking, who's between horses. Poster calls it a day as they round the far turn. White Abario makes his move now, and he's up to confront Disco Time, who's toward the rail. They pass the quarter-mile mark. And on the outside, White Abario has taken the lead. In between horses, Full Serrano tries to go with him. Disco Time puts up the white flag, and they're off the turn. They're in the stretch drive, and White Abario has the lead with an eighth of a mile to get. Skippy's coming now. Here comes Skippy Longstocking running at his stablemate. Skippy Longstocking rolling down the center, and Skippy's got it won. It's an upset in Pegasus 10. It's Skippy Longstocking and local boy Tyler Gaffleon for the money.
Guess who I bet on? I had Skippy Longstocking
all there were some great names in this race, by the way. I would have had a tough time picking by name.
That horse Disco Time was undefeated. Tapan Street was probably the most beautiful horse I've ever seen. I mean, he was so beautiful. Now, here's the interesting part. Skippy Longstocking has run in this race. This was his fourth start in the Pegasus World Cup. Okay, oh, wow. The fourth one, and he has not won yet. And I was like, he's going to the post, and they're saying that. I'm like, he's due. It's his turn. It's his turn. Now, what's cool is White Barrio and Skippy Longstocking, both 7 years old, both been running against each other forever, and they're both just complete workhorses, and they are trained by a trainer named Safi Joseph Jr. Now, do you know who Safi Joseph Jr. is, Glenn?
No, no idea.
You should know because he's the trainer of Caldera.
Oh, really?
I mean, yes.
Yay, there's a hope. There's a hope for our horse yet.
I know. He took over most of the horses that D-Wayne had in his barn. So, yeah, he's your trainer now. And what was really cool was Safi Joseph Jr. is known to be, like, very emotional. And he ran out on the course, bypassed Skippy Longstocking, and hugs White Barrio. Like, he's just, like, so proud of him. Even though he came in second, he ended up winning one and two in that $3 million race. That guy had a good day. But it was just so... I did. I put $3 to win. I'm a hardcore bettor, obviously, but I put $3 to win on Skippy Longstocking as he was heading to the post. Remember, I didn't look at this. I just was listening to the announcers and I saw him and I'm like, oh, that guy has got to win. It's his turn. And I put $3 and I made $80 in like a minute.
So he must have been a real long shot.
Yeah, he was like 27 to 30 to 1 by the time he got to the post. And White Barrio was like 2 to 1.
You always think to yourself, if only I had put $30.
Oh, why didn't I do $5? I always do $5 to win. Why did I do $3 to win? That was so stupid. It's just my app's kind of hard to understand. And so anyway, anywho.
Well, congratulations, big winner.
I was pretty excited. And it was just nice to have, to be fair, like, it's so cold and it's snowing like crazy. And to be able to sit down in front of the TV and look at beautiful horses and they're warm and it's hot. Everybody's in like short dresses. And
I hate to tell everybody, but while the rest of the country was freezing their asses off, it was 80 degrees here over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
man.
It's going to get cold for the next 10 days. We're going to have some days not out of the mid 40s.
Oh, no. How are you going to survive?
I don't know. We're breaking our preparations now, going to Costco and, you know, all of that.
For 40 degrees, you got to buy bread and milk?
Yes, yes. Oh, I mean, man. For Florida, we're all going to die down here. Hey, you know who else had a good week last week was Sovereignty, 2025 Horse of the Year. The Godolphin horse. I got to say that this horse, he's the first three-year-old male to win since Authentic in 2020. So did pretty well. Also won three-year-old male of the year, so won both titles, and
that's what happens when you win the Derby and the Belmont.
Exactly,
you get Horse of the Year.
And he won 5 out of 6 races last year. Won $5.8 million in purse money. Did pretty well.
Yeah, I think he won the Travers too. In the end, he's a force.
He didn't run in any little races at Penn National. Let's put it that way.
No.
So good job. He did that too. And this was the first Godolphin horse, I think, to win Horse of the Year.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So, and that was Bill Mott was the trainer there. So congratulations there as well. There was also good news on somebody that was a host of mine years and years ago, Liz Holiday Sharp. We've talked about her injury in the past, and I think it was in December. She got to come home to Lexington, right?
Yeah, I believe she went home. I don't know where her home is.
Yeah, her
but
in
I
Lexington.
She left.
Yep, she's home in Lexington. She's recovered from that brain injury she had, and apparently is doing better. And she got to go visit the farm for the first time in 18 months to see her horses in the farm. She's still going to weekly occupational and speech therapy, and she's going to continue to ride at a local facility. She does therapeutic riding. She did therapeutic riding when she was at the therapy center. I think it was in Texas. And now that she's back home, she's very happy to be back home. I saw pictures of her, big smile, being out with the horses again for the first time in 18 months. Can you believe it's been that long? But so... Good job, Liz, and we'll keep an eye on her progress as well. So I got to ask you about your barn. So now we've had ice and snow, and you've had all this weather. You had the worm flooring put on your barn floor. How's it hold? I mean, is it get icy like regular floors? I know it's a little bumpy, so does that help?
It's fantastic. It's so fantastic. When you walk into the barn and you step on that worm flooring, you have 100% confidence, you know, and I'm walking in there in like snow covered boots. I've got those dry shot haymakers that are like
that concrete floor you had before, you'd be slipping.
I'd have a broken hip at this point, but no, you step from the snow and ice onto that worm flooring and you are secure and comfortable. And so I need to just worm floor my entire life. Just do the driveway, do the ins and outs of the barn, head me to the paddock. Like it's fantastic. It is so great. I'm so happy with it. And it's absolutely filthy right now, but my entire life is filthy right now.
Everybody's entire life is filthy
frozen
right now.
Poop and I've been throwing it. It's just it's a mess, but other than that, being dirty because I can't clean my barn, it's fantastic. I'm so happy with it.
You know, that's true when you get it in your trailer too, because the mats tend to get slippery too, even the rubber mats, when this time of year when the horses are getting in with frozen feed or ice balls or all that kind of stuff. I imagine the worm flooring in the trailer would help with that too.
They're walking in the barn with ice balls in their feet. And for some reason, like they just immediately kick off and they walk confidently. It's amazing. I'm super happy.
If you're taking a look at it for your barn aisle or your trailer, head on over to wormflooring.com. That's wermflooring.com. This time of year to get it done too. You're not using your trailer as much. So if you're going to get rid of those mats where you'd have to clean under it after you got all this crap in there, you don't have to do that anymore. Just take the mats out, get your worm flooring done this winter so that by the spring, when you're ready to head out and haul your horses places, whether trail riding or shows, your floor is done in your trailer. There are dealers all over the country. Check them out at wormflooring.com.
And just a reminder, I did not get this for, like, I paid for this. Yes. I found Worm and I paid for it. And then they decided to advertise.
She paid for her trailer and her barn floor.
Yep. So this is not like, I'm not lying here, people.
All right. We're going to head to Laura St. Clair of Iconic next. Well, Jamie, several of our auditors mentioned an app and said we have to get the person who started it on, and that's what's happening this morning. We have Laura St. Clair of an app called Iconic. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thank you for joining us. I know you're here in Florida, too, so you're not dealing with the weather that everybody else in the country is.
It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
No, but thinking about everybody and so grateful for everyone who's taking care of all the horses up north and not even as far up north, all across the country right now.
So tell us about Iconic. We've highlighted a lot of apps on this show, and I got to be honest with you, Laura, we don't highlight as many apps now unless I really like them. I have to look at them and really like them because a lot of the ones that we've highlighted over the last 15 years were gone in a year. But after all the recommendations from listeners who have dealt with you and then also checking it out and doing some research, that's why you're here, because I think it's really good.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the show. And what we've built with Iconic, we think is really different from anything else that we have. So yeah, I want to get into that, kind of explain the concept about it. It's not like I think any other site that's out there. So we're really proud of it.
So what does it do?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just start with a little bit of my background. So I'm a small Hanoverian breeder, dressage focused. For a couple of years, I was on the education committee for the American Hanoverian Society. And I loved that, go to the inspections and do some podcasts and interviews and some things like that as well. But realized that here we really needed more understanding, more depth of what's available, the bloodlines, what's successful, where the horses are, who the people are. You know, we really rely on social media for that. And we saw that getting very, very crowded, that space. There's just so much content. And some of it's really great, but a lot of it is just, there's just a volume of it that is hitting us, I think, even just in the last 6 months. There's just so much content. So what we decided to do is build something. We basically, it's like Zillow, but it's so much better because it's for sport horses. So if you're familiar with the real estate site Zillow, it's one where you can drive down a street and see every house, basically every property. And sometimes those houses are for sale. Sometimes they're for lease, and sometimes they're not available, but it serves as a resource. And we felt that is exactly what the sport horse industry needed. So that's what we built. And I think that, you know, a lot of people say it's a sales site. It's really a comprehensive, it's more a comprehensive database of sport horses that just so happens to be fantastic at sales, because when people can find what they want, I mean, bingo, they buy it, right? So that's sort of, you know, but our primary goal is always to really just put the horses on a platform so that they're searchable. And then, of course, the people and the services have come along with it too.
And I know one of the goals was to have it so that you could trace back the horse until birth, right? From birth on, so that there's almost like a Carfax kind of thing.
That's exactly right. We're really encouraging, and we have so many great breeders here, and we wanted to make it so easy. You really can use it. It's you can use it from your phone. So, you know, from the day or the second day that foal is born, you can go out, take a picture, and on your phone, go ahead and put that foal right on Iconic with the information, with the bloodlines and, you know, where you're located. And if that foal is available, you can certainly do that. You can do that in utero as well. And so, you know, that's really the goal for us, was to get those horses out there so that people could find what we have. And once you start, you know, now that we've got, the breeders have really embraced this program, because you can go on the site and search by breeder. They just have to make sure those fields are filled out. And once you do that, you know, they're finding that, you know, people will look and see, oh, they have this one for sale. That's not exactly what I wanted, but oh, they have another one. You know, all of a sudden, you know, the depth of your program is visible. And that's, we've added some additional functionality that we're calling yards to handle that as well. But yeah, and we allow up to, like, right now it's up to 12 video links. So they're YouTube links or Vimeo links, but the goal is to be able to see that picture of that horse as it grows and develops. And the other difference with Iconic is that the horses ideally stay on the platform. So it's not just an advertisement while they're for sale. I mean, if they, you know, it's through their lifetime, so that you can see, you know, for example, if you look up a stallion, you can see the offspring. You can see if some are for sale and if some aren't. You can see how they're progressing up the levels. We think that that's how we all get better at knowing what is right for us, for our own riding horses, and what we need to be breeding, what's successful, and what the market is for those foals.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of the listings on here. It doesn't say for sale at all. It's just the listing of the horse. What I really like is one, it's laid out very well, by the way.
Thank you.
And we've seen some pretty crappy ones, trust us. But this one's laid out very well. It's very easy to read, very easy to understand. But I really like the pedigree, the way you laid out the pedigree, because the way it is on the pedigree, whether the dams and sires 1, 2, 3 back, and like the one I'm looking at right now, I can click on any of those, and they're also on the service.
That's exactly right.
That is so cool, because that is hard to do if you're just trying to do it on your own.
Exactly. We've made them all hyperlink. So it really, again, it's one of those things where, you know, when we find people and they're looking for a horse, you know, I really believe that a big part of the picture is, you know, the bloodlines do matter. You know, we always say we don't ride the papers, but in a way you really do. And we can learn so much about our horses. right. We can learn a lot about our horses from the bloodlines, and not only temperament things, but also management. You know, we're learning more and more about disease resistance differences, you know, obviously temperament things, anhidrosis, you know, a lot of things are all coming up. And those are things that when you understand understand. And when you know about them, you can start to manage your horses and understand them better. And so I think that we're going to see the bloodlines be a more important part for all sport horse disciplines. So we're excited about that. And we're so proud of the depth that we have on the site already. I mean, we launched, I think it's been less than a year and a half ago, and it's just exceeded, you know, I mean, we had this kind of wild, crazy dream, but I never thought it would be what it is already. I mean, it's really been so well received, and, you know, we think the market needed it. So we're super pleased.
Jamie's bred some horses, as you know, over the years. And one of the tabs, by the way, you're one of the only websites that has a tab at the top called Semen. By the way, I love your little graphic there.
Thank you.
I want to know the committee that sat around. I want to know how you sat around picking that one out.
You'd be surprised. That was actually quite a controversial discussion.
I bet it was. I love it though. It's perfect. Just think of balloons flying into the air. That's what it is. But I love the fact that you can pick that tab and then you see, you know, stallions who absolutely offer semen, which, you know, when Jamie, I know when you were looking, you probably did a lot of Google searching to figure out who the stallion was going to be here. It would make that so much easier.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. The research that is needed when you're trying to breed responsibly is amazing. So any sort of resources would have been great. Where were you 10 years ago? Come on.
No, I'm dreaming of this idea. Yeah, I'm dreaming of this idea. Struggling with the same things, Jamie, that you were. Absolutely struggling with those things. You know, I have a stallion that we just had licensed this last year, and I started thinking, you know, what mares would be ideal for him. And when I started, you know, I was trying to kind of like look, and, you know, of course, Facebook is where everybody kind of seems to gravitate to a great extent. And I had a specific idea of certain lines I wanted, and it's virtually impossible. I mean, you know, because you get such little information, and then you have to, you know, message and wait. And then people think you're wasting time when I'm really just trying to find out the basics of what you have. I don't want to waste your time or mine. I really just want to know, is this the line I'm looking for? Is this the location? Are you even on my continent, or, you know, where are you? So, you know, things like that, I think it should be so much easier. And, you know, I really believe that as breeders, you know, it's funny because a lot of times people will say, well, what do you sell your weanlings for? What do you sell your yearlings for? And I think that, you know, one of the things that when we make a market more efficient in a way, like auctions will do that. The auctions in Europe with sport horses are very efficient way of selling. And I think that Iconic is approaching that, because when you can look at things, if you're looking for a foal, you click our foals of 2025 and you see all of them. You can narrow it down by discipline, however you want, by state, location, anything like that. But you start to see them side by side, and the quality will show, and that translates into a higher price. And it should, because the very, very best that we're breeding should sell for more. You know, are what we're producing, they're not commodities at all. And I think that really the more people understand that an efficient market helps the right buyer find the right horse, and they're happy to pay for that, that's what they want. Right? That's what they want. So,
well, right now, then, I'm seeing that you have dressage, jumper, hunter, and eventer listed as the disciplines. Is there hopes to go beyond that at some point, or are you going to stick at what you're best at for now?
Well, those are our disciplines right now. And the platform is we're open right now to horses that are inter-eligible for World Breeding Federation for Sport Horses Registry. So those are like the 86 sport horse registries. And we did that because we really wanted to keep it sport horse focused. And we really philosophically, we support what the WBFSH is doing, you know, the initiatives that they're doing. And we really do believe in that. So that's what we have right now. But we've had a lot of requests from other breeds. They see the need for a platform like this. And so we've been approached to do some other, you know, a sister site maybe. And yeah, I'm going to stay very focused because my love is sport horses. So I'm 100% focused there, but I think that we've really proven the concept, and we're thinking big about the future, because I really think that market efficiency is needed across, you know, many, many disciplines. So,
okay, yeah, I'm still stuck on 86 registries for sport horses. That number jumped out at me.
There are. Yes, yes. I mean, we all know them like the Hanoverian, the Oldenburg, KWPNs, you know, Tricaners. But yeah, there are 80, there are something like 85 or 86. And there are, it's the big, and then the WB. FSH is sort of the umbrella organization over all of those.
Somebody on from there. I don't think we've ever had anybody on from there.
Yeah. They're doing a bunch of things. They just had an annual meeting. Well, we just had a couple, maybe 6 months ago, an annual meeting in South Africa. But they've got some big initiatives, and yeah, we really support what they're doing. And, you know, again, we think the breeding is important. The registries are important. You know, the genetics is important, understanding that and thinking long term about those things. Really critical for the quality of the horses that we're breeding. So we're super proud.
You need to all go check it out because it is really well done. You know, I haven't checked out the app yet. I've been just doing it on the computer, the layout's great.
It's fully mobile. Yeah.
IconEQ.com. So it's IconEQ.com. I'll put a link to it in the show notes as well if you want to go take a look at it. Laura, congratulations on getting it to this point.
Thank you.
And I know you'll be around for a while because it's so well done. So.
Good Fantastic. Job. Thank you so much. And we're also making the services that available and fully searchable as well. And Ocala has been a big one for us. So, yeah. So anybody, please check out our yards.
You're not British, kind of the by the way, side. Yards.
I love it. Yeah. Yes.
I saw that and I went, business. She's not British.
It's your enterprise. Yeah. So yards near me, it actually, yeah, that's already up and running. So, you know, all the people that'll start, you know, as people come to Florida and as they come to Ocala and Wellington looking for horses, they'll be able to actually go and say yards near me and maybe look and see what's available, where those farms are. And, you know, it's the first step to understanding and finding not only the right horses, but the right people and services as well.
IconEQ.com.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more featuring top experts, including 5-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, 5-time Olympic show jumper Ann Krasinski, Olympic eventer and silver medalist William Fox Pitt, and more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit EquestrianPlusPLUS.com to subscribe.
Well, I did get to spend a couple of days in Dallas at the WESA ADA show. WESA is the Western kind of trade show, and ADA is the English trade show. It's at the Dallas Market, which is this enormous building, 14 stories tall. And what's in this building is 1,000 storefronts, only they're storefronts for manufacturers that are selling stuff to retailers. So this building is open all the time. They have these permanent storefronts, mostly Western wear and everything from Western wear to Christmas balls to anything, furniture, everything you can think about a store has in its store, you buy it wholesale from this place. So it's
the places where stores go to get their stuff.
Exactly. And it's open all year long. It's open, you know, 5 days a week all year long. And then they have special events like when there's two floors that are dedicated to temporary booths. When WESA and ADA come in, they take over those two floors. So, like, I'll give you an example, like Levi and the bigger brands, Ariat, they all have permanent storefronts that people can come to anytime. But then the smaller vendors have, and there were 1,000 smaller vendors, are over these two temporary floors.
So can normal people walk in there and buy stuff?
No. You know, if you remember right, I couldn't get in the early days. We had to beg to be able to go in because there was no such thing as press going to these things. We were the first ones at ADA in Philadelphia to go as press. And that's
because you made me go to that hellhole in the winter multiple times.
Yes, it was bad. But it was fun to be there. I mean, it's fun to see all the, that's where we met Uncle Jimmy.
Yeah, no, but you made me go to Pennsylvania in the winter.
I mean, the one time we were there, there wasn't any room to park in the parking lot because they had so much snow. So anyway, we went, and I got to tell you, I've been to this is my 38th trade show. Because remember, Jennifer and I were going when we had our store. So I had been gone for 10 years before I started Horse Radio Network.
That's kind of how you knew about it, really.
Yeah, that's right. So, and that's kind of how they let me in, is because they knew me from before. It's the only reason I got in is press. Now they have a press pass. Now they charge press to get in. You have to pay to get in. But Jennifer and I do the West podcast. Jennifer hosts one and I host the other. So anyway, we get in free now.
I was going to say, you don't have to pay for press pass, do you? No. You're like the OG. Yeah. Like, hello.
And everybody knows us there because we do their podcast. So it was fun. This is the most fun I've had at a trade show, I would say, in 10 years. And I'll tell you why. One reason is, did you see the picture of my new microphone?
Yeah.
We used to carry, when we went to Ada in the first time, you'll remember this because you were there in those years. We would take two trunks of equipment to set up to be able to do the show. There were two trunks of equipment. I literally had a little case that was about 2 inches by 2 inches with my lavalier mics that have a little dongle that plugs into your phone. You put the lavalier mic on their shirt. You put one on your shirt, and it records beautifully. You'll hear one of them in just a minute. That's all I needed for equipment. I literally had that little thing. It charges the mics when you put it back in the case. The case charges the mics for up to 4 days. That's how far technology has come. It's crazy.
Well, it's like when I had to do the red carpet stuff, I'm in, you know, you have to be on the red carpet, you have to have the dress and the heels and all this stuff. And yet I still have this giant mic in a suitcase that I'd carry around in this dress, like trying to look like a normal
person. The
receiver
was about the size of a deck of cards and it was always stuffed in your butt, right? I mean, in the back of your dress.
I just had a microphone and a suitcase and a cord attached from the two of them.
It's crazy, the technology. So I had those tiny little mics. One, that was more fun. But this time I went in with a different attitude and I said, I'm just going to have a blast at this show. And I just went in with I didn't view it as work. I just went in and I got to visit with, by the way, we're going to have some of these on as guests in the Where Are They Now segments coming up. I got to visit with some of the vendors that we saw 20 years ago that saw us that did interviews about us when we first started. And they were all so excited to see me. I hadn't said hi to them in years. And some of those are going to be coming up in interviews. But it's just crazy the amount of vendors that we have talked to over the years. And then I got to meet some really nice new ones. And we're going to have, I'll have some of those new product segments for you coming up over the next month or two. But it was just, I just had a blast. I really did. And then I got out the hell out before the weather changed.
So, I was going to say, really, you kept it short, so that's why you had fun.
2 days was all I needed. This thing runs 4 days. It probably could run three, and it would be fine. And then I don't think they had anybody that was left there for Saturday because the storm hit it that night. So I don't know. I know some people I'm seeing on Facebook are still stuck there. They're not getting out yet. And these vendors had to tear down their booths in that ice. I don't know I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what happened for some of them. But anyway.
Not your circus, not your monkeys, my friend.
I will say this. You and I have talked about this over the years. We've gone through cycles with these shows where there's some new products some years. Some years, there's just nothing new. It's just different colors, right? And there's no new. Yeah. There's been a drought for several years at a time where there's no new products. This year, there was a bunch of really cool new products, and they weren't big things. They were little things that I went, why has nobody invented that before? You know, just to make your life easier. But there was a bunch of them, and I'll have them for you coming up. But I just thought this year there was a lot of one-off companies there that this person invented a product, and they were there for the first time. And it was a product that I went, that's really cool. One of them I bought, actually. So I will say that that was the excitement for me this year. And yes, there are still 1 million cowboy boot and 1 million cowboy hat companies. I don't know where they all sell those cowboy hats. I don't know. There must have been probably 1,200 styles of cowboy hats, and I don't know where they sell them all. I don't know.
Well, let's see. I have a black hat, and then I have a regular, like, really bougie, like, indoor, you know, nice hat. And I'm still looking for the perfect straw hat for this summer. However, I do have, like, 6 pairs of cowboy boots as well. So, I mean, you know, there's a market. People are buying it. I'm buying it. Chad has, like, 4 hats. I mean, you never know. Yeah, I have to have a hat for every mood.
I will say it's a little insider baseball. I talked to one of the cowboy hat manufacturers, and I said, what's going on with all the stands here now with cowboy hats? Used to be the big ones, American and a couple of the others. Used to be the really big ones were the only ones that were there. And they said, what's happened is these all get manufactured in Mexico. every cowboy boots and cowboy hats are all made in this one, two counties in Mexico. What happens is those manufacturing plants now are starting to sell direct. So they're all up here selling direct, same hats you probably could get from these other places, but now they've decided to compete. And the problem is these companies can't go anywhere else to get them made. They're stuck. So yes, they're competing against the people who are now making their hats. So it's kind of a weird situation right now in that world. There's a little insider baseball for you. But anyway, two of the old friends we saw, one is our neighbor, and I have an interview here for you. It'll be the first one we're going to play. And part of the reason I'm playing this one first is I actually tested the mics out with them to see if they would work. And also, you'll hear why this also goes to where are they now. So my first interview here with my brand new equipment has to be with my two of my favorite people in the whole world, one of which has cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years, and that's Brooke. Hey, Brooke.
Hi.
Now, Brooke, tell everybody how close we live.
Oh, we are two streets from each other.
Yes, exactly.
Same neighborhood.
She's like, I could throw a stone over to her house.
Walking distance. I actually walked my dogs, one being in a stroller, over to your house.
That's right. And here we are in Dallas, meeting again. And then, of course, Kat. Kat has been coming on the show. We figured out this morning for 12 years.
12 years, yeah.
So hey. Kat, I met Kat. She's with Benefab. And I met Kat at an ADA in Philadelphia. And tell everybody, this is kind of going along with new products, but also it's kind of going along with where are they now? Because you hosted this show once.
I did. First time on a radio show, and you threw me into hosting. First time I met you. Yep. I was terrified. And you told me that I remember I had lipstick on, and Glenn said, you really don't have to get that ready for radio. Like, oh, okay. I'm flattered you thought I did.
And you were great. And
yeah,
look, we became friends after that.
Yeah, we did. We were fast friends. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
And, oh, look, Benefab is doing great. It's grown like crazy. And yes. The horse holster, which Brooke invented. And I met you a couple of years later at Philadelphia, if I remember right. Was it Philly?
I think it was... Yeah, King of Prussia.
Yeah, King of Prussia.
That's what we were talking about last
night. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was King of Prussia.
I thought it was Colorado.
No, I think it was King of Prussia.
Yeah, I think it was.
And you were there with the horse holster, of course. And then I discovered later, or this morning, you reminded me, that I actually introduced you to, and then Kat, you two are partners now.
So, yes. Yeah. Came into the horse holster business,
February 21st, I believe, will be 5 years.
Okay, I was going to say, we're pushing on 5 years. That's crazy. Time goes so quickly.
It does.
Yeah.
So the horse holster, of course, give everybody just a brief description of what it is and if they don't know.
So it's a safe way to carry your cell phone when you're riding so that if you become disconnected from your horse, you don't lose all of your belongings.
And they're very fancy and very stylish, too. Everything Brooke does is fancy and stylish. Oh.
Yes. Well, thank you. And Kat has done a great job of introducing really fun patterns and matching all different types of outfits. And the product can still be worn four different ways, so it's still super versatile.
On your leg.
On your leg, on your waist, on your belt, and as a crossbody.
Gotcha. And there's a new product this year. Tell us about that.
Yes.
So, I think it's a brilliant idea. And it looks great.
It's adorable. This is my first time seeing it at the show, but it's called the Wag Bag. So it's a little larger, but it still has all the same functionalities. But we have such a big community of people that love their dogs, me being one of them. They are my children. So it's designed to be able to take, you know, when your dog's on a walk, go to the dog park, anything that you're doing with your dogs. But my favorite feature is your little poop bags that you carry to clean up after your pet. It has a little dispenser incorporated into the bag. So now you've got everything there handy with
you.
You carry
your phone in there in addition to your poopy bags.
But if your dog does go to the bathroom, there's an anti-odor bag that comes with it that you can clean up after your dog. And if you don't have a waste bin close by, you can just carry it with you until you can dispose of it.
Oh, and
it doesn't...
Is the anti-odor bag washable?
Yeah.
Is the anti-odor bag washable?
It is washable, okay. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
funnier. It is.
But there's nothing worse than going around, like walking in town or something, until you find a waste bin and smelling that, right?
No, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I know that they have, like, the lavender bags and the lemon bag. I've tried all of them. And I feel like that just makes it even worse.
Do you
worse
still live in historic like Ocala downtown?
Yes,
yeah, so
downtown.
You know all about walking downtown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it there, but there's not a lot of waste bins.
All right. Now, Benefab, let's switch over to Benefab. Yeah. Describe Benefab real quickly, and then we'll go to the new product.
Yeah. So Benefab stands for beneficial fabrics. So the easiest way to tell what it is really we have a clinically proven fabric that increases circulation and reduces inflammation. So our customer promise with all of the products is increased mobility and less pain in 3 weeks guaranteed.
You have that elevator pitch down much more than you did 12 years ago. It's perfect now.
Amen.
It's one sentence.
I don't even think I knew what an elevator pitch was 12 years ago.
So tell us about the new product.
Yeah, so I am so excited about this new product. It's called our Smart Mask. And Smart in the Benefab line basically takes that clinically proven fabric and combines it with medical grade magnets over key acupuncture points. So we do a lot of research. We're science-based, research-backed. We've done university trials, and there's lots of therapies now on the market. And what we found is that a lot of times people just think, you know, stronger is better, bigger is better, more is better, and that's not always the case. Horses
just
are
like
super,
you can over-supplement.
Exactly. Right. And horses are super sensitive creatures. They're prey animals. They're very sensitive. So we've designed the Smart Mask to target multiple things. It's mainly designed to target TMJ and the calming acupressure points.
And this is a mask that goes up over the ears, over the entire face. The eyeballs stick out.
Yeah.
But it's over the muzzle, down to the muzzle.
Yeah.
And it looks like it has three magnets right in the middle.
Yes, exactly. So those are going to target the governing vessel 24, which is a natural calming and anti-anxiety point. Then
You know,
also,
that makes sense because when you rub your pony on the muzzle there, they relax.
Yes, and on the forelock. So a lot of people say, oh, my horse loves when I brush his forelock. And he gets like you'll start to see horses lick and chew and soften their eyes. And it's not because it's a coincidence. It's because there's actually a stimulating point there.
I thought he just liked me.
Well, he'll like you more if you do it every day. And it also has a supportive compression, which is a neat element. It's not a gauged compression, but people really like it because it does fit snugly. So you can use it underneath. Like I have it here displayed on a bridle. You can ride in it, but you can also just use it as a staple.
You can ride in it? Yeah.
Yeah. You could ride in it, you know, go hack out, do things with it. But a lot of people use it just as a staple. I mean, it really just depends. When does your horse need it? You know, so Benefab is all about convenience. So whatever fits into your horse's routine is way you should use it.
Where can people find it?
Benefabproducts.com.
And the horse holster?
The horse holster, which is under Handy Holsters, so handyholsters.com.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, on a totally unrelated note, for all of my gluten-free listeners out there, and I know there's a bunch of you because it's gotten brought up several times, there is a travel food that I had when we were a kid that my mom used to buy for us because it would shut us up in the car. Because remember, that was before the days that you could have anything to watch while you were doing road trips. You just sat and looked out the window. And so she, one of the things she had that we loved was Cheez-Its.
I love Cheez-Its, like, to this day. And whenever we would walk cross country, my friend Christine and I would have a box of Cheez-Its and a couple beers and walk cross country.
Yeah.
However, what I grew up with was my mom buying the generic cheese nips.
Oh.
And those
they were not
are
as cheesy.
Terrible. I remember hating Cheez-Its. And as I got older, I was like, these are really good. Oh, because they're not cheese nips. Like, my mom had a coupon for them or something because she cut coupons on Sundays.
Yep. You know? Like the generic, my mom used to buy the generic saltines. Well, they just didn't have any salt on them. They were terrible.
Yeah.
So
cheese nips and Cheez-Its are not the same thing. I don't even know if they even make cheese nips anymore. I'm going to look. Go ahead.
I got to tell you, though, I'm very excited for all the gluten-free. I belong to these gluten-free Facebook pages, and all they've been talking about for the last 2 months is that Cheez-Its came out with a gluten-free version. It's all they've been talking about. Where can you get them? Where can you get them? Where can you get them? And you can't get them around here. I couldn't find them. And apparently, as soon as they come in stock, they're sold out. I found them on Target for shipping for $3.99 a box, which is incredible. So I had 9 boxes sent to the house. And when I got home, I got to try the gluten-free Cheez-Its. Let me tell you what, they taste even cheesier than the regular Cheez-Its. Now, it's been a long time since I've had Cheez-Its because I'm gluten-free, but they taste
the most random conversation for a horse podcast ever.
Oh, my God. These are so good. I ate half the box. And that's the problem with Cheez-Its is you can't eat half the box. But I ate half the box, and I bought 9 boxes, so I know what we're going to be eating for a long time. But anyway, they're really good. If you can find them in your area, Target has them when they're not sold out. Go online, check every morning. That's what I did. I had to check every morning, and I found one morning they weren't sold out.
God.
And I ordered 9 boxes shipped. I ordered 9 boxes because it was free shipping after 9 boxes. So I'll have them for...
It's like it was free, Glenn.
It is.
See?
Yes, exactly. So you gluten-free people, look for the Cheez-Its. They're really, really good, and most gluten-free stuff is crap.
So, okay, I have an update on cheese nips.
Okay.
Cheese nips were small cheddar flavored crackers introduced by Nabisco in 1955 as a competitor to Cheez-It, featuring a distinct, lighter, and more airy texture. Due to a 2019 recall for potential plastic contamination, cheese nips were discontinued in the U.S.
That's why it did taste like plastic, so that's perfect.
They just finally discovered the plastic in 2019. It's been in there the whole time, people.
I want to play something for you to end the show. And those of you that lived in the South will know all about this. And Jamie, you're going to relate to this so much. This has nothing to do with weather. And I'm going to see if I can get it to play, because playing something on Instagram is not easy to get it going. So I'm going to see if I can get it going here.
Creature that God has ever created, the palmetto bug. Now, if you're not from the South, you might be thinking, oh, she just means a cockroach. No, a cockroach is a pest. A palmetto bug is a terrorist. They don't just crawl, they fly. And they don't run away from you like normal bugs. They fly at you. They come at you like you have rent due in your own house. You can be minding your own business, sitting on the couch watching TV, and out of the corner of your eye, you see it. The shiny brown shell, the long antenna, and you can't move. You have to freeze, because as soon as you move, they take off like a plane from Southwest Airlines. And the worst part of it is they're bold. Normal bugs, they hide. But these, no. They will walk across your living room like they own the place. And then they will dodge you. I tried to hit one with a shoe, and I got juked out like an NFL wide receiver. So then you end up standing in your own house, scared of a bug that has better reflexes than you. And don't you dare try to step on it, because that crunch... it haunts your soul. Sure. And when you do eventually kill it, you have to walk like you're carrying crime scene evidence to the trash can with a mountain of paper towels, because you cannot pick it up with just one. And I mean, here's the thing. Here's the kicker. You can clean your house. You can bomb the house. You can have an exterminator come every single day. And those palmetto bugs, they will thrive. They will survive. They could survive an apocalypse. The only thing that'll be left after the world ends is them and Twinkies. So yeah, if you're not from the South and you plan on visiting the South, just remember that they are not bugs. They are your roommates that don't pay rent.
She's from Georgia. Her name is Carly Fornia. I'll put a link to that on, because you're gonna want to play it. It's true though, isn't it?
It puts a bad taste in my mouth, like bleh, because but the crunch is just the worst part. Yes.
And if you haven't lived in the South, you'd think she's absolutely right. Everybody else in the world thinks they're cockroaches. They are not. They are 10 times smarter than cockroaches. And you try and squish them in your house, it takes you 20 minutes chasing them around. So
I don't want to lead. And we like recently talked about Cheez-Its, and now we're talking about palmetto bugs and roaches. Well, I'm out.
I kind of did
out.
This for a reason, is to take everybody's mind off of the snow. So that's why. I did a good job.
You win.
Right?
You did it. Spade and gals, everybody.
We'll be here for a whole week. We're not going away this week. Hold on, auditors.